Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening and good morning to those who listen to this podcast in different times of the day. Welcome back to this podcast. My name is Indiana Gomez, just as it has a title. And I've been away for some time. I want to welcome back those who have been listening to me since day one. And I also want to welcome those who are listening for the first time. So before we get into anything, I just want to talk about why I was off the grid. So the main reason why I was off the grid was due to mental health. And you may ask, okay, what do you mean by that? So the month of April is and was a triggering month. In April of last year, I lost my uncle and I lost my mother, and I almost could have lost my brother. So while that was going on, and while the month of April 2021 was going, I was not in the right mental space, in my opinion, to talk or to record and to display any content. I decided to take that time for myself and just actually live and acknowledge all feelings that I had. The type of feelings that I had was feeling stressed, feeling a sense of trauma, and also feeling a sense of sadness. Thankfully, I was able to manage those feelings in a healthy way. And I am grateful to say that though I have my mental struggles, I find and I have found different methods to cope with it. It's not easy. It will never be easy. When you lose a loved one, when you go through a traumatic experience, or when you experience something that can bring sadness to you. But nonetheless, keep in mind that you are not by yourself. And what I mean by that is that I am sure that there are many other people in the world that have mental struggles, that have lost a loved one, and that feel that they need to take a break from things. Within the last year, I have understood that rest is essential, that taking a break from the norm is essential, that if I wake up one day and I'm just not feeling myself, feeling like myself, I should say, that it is okay because it's just one day versus feeling this way for months. I will be transparent and I will say that I do struggle with anxiety and that I do struggle with depression. It is not something that occurred in the last year. It is something that I have managed and struggled with and dealt with since childhood. If you have listened to an older podcast about trauma, I have experienced many traumas in my life. And the most recent ones are losing my mother and losing my uncle and just what life looks like after that. And I just want to say that honestly, it never ends when you are grieving a loved one. It never ends. You are always going to miss that person. There's always going to be something or someone, or maybe their favorite food or their favorite song, or going to a place that's going to bring back those memories. But there is hope. And the hope is that one day you will see this loved one. And one day things or the burden of grieving gets lighter. So that brings me to this topic that I want to talk about, that I feel I am personally going through it, and I feel that many of us are going through it as well, and that is healing. So what does healing look like, and what does healing mean? So when you heal from something, is that you are recovering from that thing that broke you or that hurt you. And that can go into so many different examples. It can be recovering or healing from a surgery. It can be recovering or healing from a relationship. It can be recovering or healing from losing a loved one. It can even be recovering and healing from this pandemic. It can be recovering and healing from anything that you have lost or that you broke away from. It can be recovering and healing from an addiction. It can be recovering and healing from childhood trauma. The point is that once you decide that you want to recover, that you want to heal from that thing that messed you up, it is a process. Now, I've heard this for as long as I can remember, and it is true. And that is that healing is not linear. I don't know if anyone has said this or mentioned this, and I am sure that people have said this all over, and it is that healing is a step-by-step process. I'm here to debunk that and tell you that that is a lie. Healing is literally all over the place. And what I mean by that is that one day you can feel like you are on top of the world and nothing has affected you and everything seems lighter, and then the next day it can just be downhill into a rabbit hole where you don't see the light of day, you don't think that there's hope, and you're crying or you're sad or whatever the case may be. I decided that I needed to heal. I believed that there were way too many things that have happened in my life that I never took the chance to stop, to register, and to dissect exactly what I've experienced in life. Now, let me just be clear. This is not just about the loss of my mother or the year 2020. I'm talking about years of unresolved trauma and years of feeling like, did I go through this? Did I not go through this? Was this a bad experience? Did I deserve that? What do I do now? What about the other person? It wasn't fair, or was it fair? And I will say that there is power in therapy. There is power in therapy. In my opinion, therapy should be taken serious and should be done only if you are ready to recover. If you are ready to talk about those things that you have experienced, and if you are ready to understand why it happened, if you're ready to understand that there are different perspectives that can help you to comprehend what exactly happened. Because the truth is that where I'm from, where I live at, which is New York City, the Bronx to be specific, we live in such a fast-paced society where we don't even remember what we ate for lunch yesterday. Versus living in another state that is not as fast-paced, and they're able to do nothing one day and do everything the next day. I decided that I needed to recover, because what I understood is that the version of myself was not the version that I wanted to be. The person that was prior to therapy is not the person that is talking to you today. And the truth is that trauma is never your fault. The truth is that grief is something that is inevitable. So you cannot avoid it. And the truth is that there is hope. So I started my therapy in December of 2020 because I believe that I needed to talk to someone, and I needed for someone, specifically a professional, to explain to me why I am the way that I am, why do I do what I do, and was it right or was it wrong, or just everything as a whole. And since I've been in therapy, I've understood that a lot of the trauma that I have experienced was not my fault. A lot of the things that I experienced was because of a lack of self-love. I remember when my therapist told me that, and when my therapist asked me if I loved myself, and my reaction was a reflex. I said, yes, I love myself. Of course I love myself. If I didn't love myself, then would I be living? Would I be doing anything? Would I be working? Would I be, you know, doing any of the things that I'm passionate about? And she said, no. Do you sit well with who you are? And do you accept that person? And of course, that question hit me like a rock. And my heart sank. And I said, I love myself today, but I did not love myself a year ago or even prior to that. And many of us suffer from self-hate. Many of us believe that we do not deserve the things that we have in life, or that the bad things that happen are deserving because we are not good. We are not deserving. We deserve less than because of XYZ that happened. And many of us are very uncomfortable to even look at ourselves in the mirror and to just accept the past, the present, and acknowledge the future. And I just want to remind you, those who are listening, there is nothing wrong if you struggle mentally. There's nothing wrong if you have been dealt a bad hand at life. It doesn't make you less of a person. It doesn't mean that it's not worth recognizing. But if the past constantly haunts you and the past is constantly on your conscious mind, then it is time to understand and realize that self-love is not there. And you need to work on what that looks like. Something else that I have been working on with therapy and with my therapist is that, who do I want to be today? And what and who does Indiana look like? So it started with an exercise that I feel many of us fail at. And the question is, who are you? So when I answered the question, I said, well, my name is Indiana. I am 31 years old. I am a woman. I am a believer in God. I sing. I dance. I enjoy organizing videos on YouTube. I love music. I have a younger brother. I work. I go to school. I recently graduated from my master's. And I just kept going. And my therapist stopped me. She said, no. That's not who you are. That's part of you. But who is Indiana? And I sat there and I tried to think about it. And I said, I don't know. So then she asked me, okay, so what does Indiana look like? When you think of your best version of yourself, who is Indiana? And I said, okay, well, I aspire to be a social worker. I aspire to be a author. I aspire to be a homeowner. I aspire to be a wife. I aspire to be a mother. I aspire to inspire others and to influence others. I aspire to be a mental health advocate. And she said, okay, those are good. That's enough. So what's stopping you from being that person? And again, my heart sank and I said, I'm stopping myself from being that person. And she said, that's the key to it. So again, like most of my episodes and have been said and what I've been saying from the beginning, the intention of this podcast is to be transparent. The intention of this podcast is to be real, to be honest about everything. And one of the things that I realized with this exercise and also in the midst of going to therapy is that I did not love myself for a very long time. And that was because growing up, my parents, probably unconsciously or without realizing it in an ignorant manner, were trying to conform me to be a version of Indiana that they thought I was going to be, that they wanted for me to be, versus who I really was. And because of that struggle, I struggle today. And I will bring up one story that I believe my parents did not see it as a big deal, but for me, it transformed a lot. It changed everything. It distorted my thinking of myself. And I remember when I was 5 years old and I was in school, I went to private school, and my teacher asked the class, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I remember with such confidence and my outspoken self, even at 5 years old, I said, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an astronaut. I want to go outer space, because none of the people that I've seen that go outer space look like me. Now, that's a bold statement for a five-year-old. I remember that I told my parents, because I've always loved school and I still love school to this day. I am a strong believer in education. Education is power, knowledge is power, and gaining all that information in life is important. It's important to educate yourself before you make a judgment or an opinion about something. Because if not, I believe that you sound ignorant, which means lack of knowledge. But going back to what I was saying, I told my parents I wanted to be an astronaut. I told my parents I wanted to go out of space. I want to explore different planets and all these things. And my parents, in their ignorant mindset at the time, believed that there was something wrong with me. They believed that the fact that I wanted to be an astronaut implied that maybe Indiana is not okay. So what did they do? They took me to psychotherapy. And I still remember this as clear as day. I remember going into a clinic somewhere in Queens, and in a group setting, I was surrounded with other children. And I know, or let me rephrase this, I understood that they were not okay, that they were not 100%, that they were lacking in something. And I remember talking about it, you know, and the therapist at the time said that I could possibly have lost a sense of reality, that I live too much in my head, that I possibly have imaginary friends and have lost a sense of space and time and reality. That's why I want to go to space and all these different things. Honestly, that was not true at all. What I said in terms of the reasoning why I wanted to be an astronaut is what I wanted to do. From that moment on, I never wanted to be an astronaut again. From that moment on, my interest or my desire to learn more about science was still there, but for to make it personal in terms of wanting to be an astronaut died. And I remember growing up as a child, I always tried, or what I believed, tried to please my parents and to seek their approval. And I never felt like they approved anything that I did. From the type of music that I listened to the type of likes that I had, you know, from if my hair was curly at the time, growing up, being natural, as we call it now, was not something that was completely accepting. Now everyone wants to be natural, and that's okay. If you have naturally curly hair, or waves or coils, awesome. It's celebrated now. It's embraced now. But when I was a child, there was a saying within the Spanish culture, pelo malo, bad hair. I remember that my mother took me to my first hair appointment in a hair salon, and I got my first relaxer, which is a chemical that straightens your hair for at least a year, depending on, you know, your texture, at 3 years old. Now, that's also traumatizing, because if I'm born with curly hair, why would you want to alter my hair? If anything, try to find different products or different resources or maybe other people to manage a child that has natural hair. My mother's natural hair texture was straight, and my dad's natural hair texture was curly. So when two people get together and have children, you're gonna come out with different traits from both parents, right? The point is that while I was trying to please my parents and seek approval from them, they, in their ignorant mindset, not consciously understanding what they were doing, were trying to change me. And that's why when I reached the age of 18 to 25, it was very hard for me to accept myself for who I was, because my parents didn't accept me for who I was. It was very hard for me to try to understand the person that I was becoming. It was very hard for me to sit well with myself. And here's another thing that has affected me even until this day. So I will openly say again, because this podcast is and will be transparent and real at all costs, I received a diagnosis when I was 19 years old. The diagnosis that I received at 19 years old was polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, polycystic ovarian syndrome today has much more resources, much more research, and much more information and support groups about people, or women, I should say, that have this syndrome. But when I was diagnosed at 19 years old, which was roughly 2008, it was seen as a death sentence. When I received this diagnosis, it was because polycystic ovarian syndrome basically means that your hormones are not balanced, and it affects your cycles, it affects the hair on your body. It affects your estrogen levels and your testosterone levels, and it affects your weight gain or weight loss. You don't have normal cycles, and the list goes on, because every person that has PCOS has different symptoms. Not every single person has the same thing. So the way that it was explained to me was that I would not be able to have children. It would be extremely difficult for me to have children. It was explained to me that if I did not take birth control, my cycle will always be irregular. And if my cycle continues to be irregular, I can possibly develop cervical cancer. It was explained to me that the only option moving forward to have children would be either in vitro fertilization or adoption. Now, at 19 years old, I don't know about you, but for myself, that was a death sentence. That was another trauma to me that affected the way that I viewed myself. From the age of 19 years old, I saw myself as half of a woman, as a broken woman. And I believed that no man was going to want to be involved with me. And because of that, I didn't love myself. Any confusion or any identity crisis that I thought I already had, now this diagnosis added onto it. And this confusion magnified. I did not love myself at the age of 19. I thought I was not going to be able to have children. I was not able to, you know, get involved with someone long term. What would be the point? No man wants to be involved with me. I can't give him children. What's the point of marriage? All these different things. And I didn't speak to anyone about it. I just thought something's wrong with me, something's wrong with my hormones, and I just have to deal with that, and it's something that I have to deal with for the rest of my life. As a result of that, I became promiscuous. I had several partners. I didn't care. It was just a sense of being involved sexually, and it doesn't matter because I'm not going to be with them anyway, you know. And that was the mindset that I had. But deep, deep, deep inside of me, I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be appreciated and valued as who I was. And I did not experience that because I didn't even accept myself. I didn't appreciate who I was as a person because I didn't even know who I was as a person. I didn't love myself because I didn't have love towards my defaults, you know, my issues. And the list goes on. There's so many things that I could say on that. At the age of 28 years old, I decided, okay, I'm going to go to a whole different gynecologist. I'm going to check myself out. And I want to see what's going on because I've had this syndrome for so many years, and the doctors that I've had along the years, they've given me different type of birth control, you know, and all it really did, to be honest, was help me, and I use the word loosely, help gain weight. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I keep gaining weight. I'm getting headaches. I'm getting these things. I feel like this. My acne is terrible, you know. I see no progress. If anything, I see things that are getting worse. I remember going to this gynecologist, and I told them about this diagnosis that I had received at 19. And the gynecologist told me, I have it too. The moment that she said that she has PCOS, just like myself, I looked at her and I said, do you have any children? She said, no, I don't have any children now because I don't want to have children right now. But you can have children. There are so many methods to do so, but you can have children naturally, which is having sex, right? So, long story short with that, she did blood work and she also did an ultrasound. I was very anxious because this was going to determine, can Indiana have children or not? This was going to determine, what do my ovaries look like? This was going to determine, what is the case? What is the situation? What is the deal? After that appointment, I found out that my hormones are imbalanced, yes. However, I only have one cystic ovary. And the other ovary is completely normal. When I tell you that I cried and I wept and I cried and I wept and I cried and I wept, because it was such a sense of relief. It was such a sense of, all these years I believe that what I wasn't able to, I felt like I wasted a lot, you know, my 20s and all these different things. But now that I know, or that I knew at that day, that I am okay. I have defects like everyone, but that I am okay. I felt whole. I felt like a complete woman, and I felt like, okay, well, now I'm able to, you know, settle down, get married, have kids, and all these different things. Where am I coming from with all this? What is the point of sharing these stories? What is the point of expressing or being open about some of the struggles that I have dealt with? The point is this. It doesn't matter what you have gone through in your life, whether it be a present struggle, whether it be something that happened a year ago when you were 5, when you were 7, or whatever age it was. You have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to accept yourself for who you are. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And you have to be proud of that. Not that you walk around with your chest out and thinking that you're better than anyone. No. You have to walk around with accepting who you are and just acknowledging who you are. And just being who you are, because that is who you are. No one can be you. And that is your superpower. No one can experience what you experience, because that is individual, that is personal, that is yours. And I've also understood recently that I have gone through so much, but yet I'm still standing. And there has to be a reason why. And one of the reasons I believe is to share these experiences, is to inspire others that are feeling like they're in a dark hole, is to encourage others that, yes, this is hard. Yes, this is difficult. Yes, this makes no sense. Yes, I want to cry every day. Yes, this and that. But life does get better. Life will improve. The sun will come out tomorrow and you will be able to say, wow, I recovered from XYZ situation. Healing is a choice. So I challenge, or I encourage those who have been feeling down, who have been feeling anxious, who haven't been feeling like themselves, to take a decision, to take on that choice to heal. I also encourage those that feel like they have no one to talk to, or anyone that they have spoken to will give them a biased response or biased advice, to seek help. There is nothing wrong with therapy. And I really wish that society can stop putting stereotypes against therapy. There is nothing wrong with speaking to a professional about your issues. They are professionals and they will give you an unbiased advice or an unbiased diagnosis if you actually do have a mental illness. And that's how you're able to cope with life and understand that, okay, I went through all these things, I experienced all these things, however, I am still me. My name is Indiana. This is my podcast. Thank you for listening. And I will hear from you guys. Or, let me rephrase that. You will be listening from me soon. Bye.